there's a reason we're starting with this song, which we often, all like 3 days a week would start the show with this song in the past. And thank you for being here. By the way, it's just Eric. It's Tuesday, May 29th, a little bit after 5 o'clock. Actually, we're going to talk here for half an hour, 45 minutes or so. And then got another podcast to record with my friends from Harbor and what they have going on this podcast. Something, you know, I'm a huge advocate for mental health, animals, and here where we live. I've overlooked something here and not been as big a part of it as I should and could be. That's coming up. A couple of fun tweets. My first Lindsay fight. The Roseanne stuff, briefly. And a couple of other entertainment stories. And what somebody drew, the Cumulus building here is under assault with graffiti. Those pictures are already up on my socials, Instagram and Facebook. But we started with that song, Muse Uprising. There is an air conditioning or an air conditioner unit, central or unit or window unit, uprising. It's a revolt. You'd think it's the birth of artificial intelligence that is finally fighting back. I've made jokes on social about this already. How isn't it amazing how the air conditioners are smart enough to break down and malfunction only when it's really hot, which it has been. I think we hit records on Sunday and Monday, and maybe today too. Today, I guess, was only supposed to be in the mid 80s, but it's warm. And for the record, I like this weather. This kind of heat is tolerable to me. It's the August heat and humidity that bludgeons me. That's when you'll get my mild complaints. And then I think, well, wait a second. Yeah, you got to start your car and let the air conditioning in your car get going. But it's not like in the wintertime where you've got to shovel your way to your car, wipe snow. Like, I don't have to wipe humidity and heat off of my car as I do in the wintertime. So I am all about this weather. So this heat with manageable humidity, I'm all for it. Although I probably walked the dogs too long and too far yesterday. They were good on Sunday, but on Monday, when we got home, Andre was like, I'm not having any of this. He just plopped down. He wouldn't drink any water. And I was like, shit, was I an irresponsible dog owner? And then I went and I removed the lid from the treats, and he was okay. But 40 minutes was too long of a walk for me and the dogs, or for the dogs yesterday, at least for Andre. His legs are little. Diddy's good. But I'm good with this heat. But it's funny to watch everybody go, my air conditioning doesn't work. And it's funny, like I said, the air conditioners all collaborate with one another. They speak like, you know, I make these Westworld references. The host can communicate through a mesh network when they're nearby. All the air conditioners communicate from house to house and building to building and go, all right, boys and girls, it's hot out. Let's shut it down on the humans. That's actually not what happens. You just don't realize that between the time in the fall when you turn it on and off for the last time, and then you go to turn it on for the first time, something has broken down. When it runs out of Freon, or something in the central HVAC unit has gone down completely. I guess this seems to happen more frequently with air conditioning units than it does with heating. Like when you go to crank up the heat for the first time in November, because it's getting into the 30s or 20s in the overnight. So it's like, I got to break down, put the heat on. But it's more common for things to break with the air conditioner when it's 87 and you crank the air up for the first time. I just think it's funny that they all do it at the same time together. They all break. And this is the artificial intelligence. It's their first strike against humanity. They'll get us where we're weakest, dealing with temperatures. And modern conveniences like microwaves and our phones and air conditioning. Like I said, some tweets. There was a first fight that, and you know, on some of these podcasts, even online, I've like, how do you people fight? Like, what brings up fights? And it's over money or when you live together. And she and I don't have that. But something arose, and it's under the rug already. It's done. It's taken care of. So it's not major drama to share with you. We'll talk about the Roseanne stuff briefly, and I'm going to connect that to something that I saw on Friday night at the Mud Hens game, where again, It was Hens and Hounds, and one of my dogs didn't go this time, and it was much more enjoyable. Diddy has run out of chances to socialize, so I didn't even risk it. A couple of comic book nerdy things that relate to Hollywood off of the Roseanne story, and then we'll wrap up with this building being under siege by local graffiti artists. Or if you're familiar with, thanks Samantha, from Netflix, American Vandal. And I also have to make another note for myself here. Show suggestions. Let's see if I can remember what my handwriting says in a couple of minutes. Anyway, I am a, relatively speaking, I'm a big soccer fan, a big international soccer fan. I didn't watch the Champions League final the other day where your eye candy, Cristiano Ronaldo, won with his team, Real Madrid. And I've waned in sports. My interest in sports and watching it has waned in general since I've not done sports talk radio. But for many, many years, I've always been up for international soccer, especially the World Cup, the Euro, where it's just the European teams. The World Cup is coming up this summer. I even get into the Women's World Cup because our U.S. team is exceptionally gifted and arguably the most dominant team ever assembled in that sport at times. So I'm big into soccer. Watching far more than playing. And I came across, there was a two-part series in The Blade this weekend about will soccer ever do better in Toledo? And I highly encourage you to read it. And it stems off of the United Soccer League has taken interest in expansion. And Toledo is one of the cities on its radar. And it's a third division league here in the States. So there's Major League Soccer, which has been around for like 20, 25 years, and it's growing and growing. And Detroit was in the running to just get a team. Columbus may move their team, I believe, to Austin. Cincinnati was just rewarded a team. So it is a thriving, growing league. That league has finally figured out who they need to target for their demo, and that's 20 to 20 and 20 somethings and 30 somethings, and anything beyond that is helpful. So this USL is looking at cities, and I guess they visited here. We were under consideration. They hope to have 12 to 16 teams when play begins, I think, in March, in a couple of years. So far, a couple more cities are signed up. Madison, Statesboro, Georgia, Tucson, Greenville. So all cities that are, I guess, a little bit larger, except for Statesboro, wherever that is in Georgia. Cities that are roughly the size of Toledo. Let's see. We already have great success with other pro teams, minor league teams, and that's essentially what the USL is. It's a minor league, a distant feeder system to MLS. And I don't follow the soccer real closely here. I've gone over to Fifth Third when they've put big international games up there. I think I watched the women, their title game a couple of years ago in, 16? And then in 14, I watched when the U.S. played their knockout round game against Belgium. Kind of hard to see the screens because it's so far away, but it was a good time to get together with lots of soccer fans. I know, unfortunately, the Clotta in the mall closed, and that was a big soccer bar, but we still have the Village Idiot, who has been doing something called Full 90. They've been organizing lots of early Saturday morning soccer viewings for quite some time now. And that guy, Sean, reached out to me because I had mentioned online that I'm a soccer aficionado. And I've not done, of all the things that I've become an advocate for here in Toledo, like I was lamenting last week, we got to get the roads and the construction downtown under control, and we got to have a vision, and I'm glad for ProMedica's vision, and I'm glad for the incoming mayor's vision to grow things and continue a rebirth and revitalization, and let's really stay on top of making sure our roads are fixed. And I'm an advocate for roundabouts as much as some people hate them. I have not put any or enough, no, it's really any of my energy towards advocating for soccer growth in this area. The Mud Hens are a phenomenal organization, and it really helps the Walleye that they're part of that. It's the same organization. Joe Napoli was interviewed for this article in The Blade, which you can find on my Facebook or just go to The Blade website. Let me pull up the quotes. The USL reached out to the Mud Hens ownership, which owns the Walleye. Mud Hens president and CEO Joe Napoli said ownership has explored everything from indoor soccer to lacrosse in the past, but it isn't quite ready for this new venture now. What we've learned so far is attendance in like-sized markets doesn't support profitable teams just yet. That doesn't mean it can't happen. So he didn't rule it out. Obviously, he's seen growth within the Walleye and the Mud Hens and how successful They are. But there is, I had my eyes opened, and they're in this article, to Toledo Villa FC, which stands for Football Club. Toledo Villa, a semi-pro club currently in second year of play. Three owners recently teamed up with Paysetter Soccer Club in Sylvania and Total Soccer to purchase the club, which currently plays in the United Premier Soccer League. So this is different from the USL. I'm going to try to stay away from getting too granular with this stuff. But basically, my takeaway, my upshot to share here with you is, I need to be a bigger advocate for growth of soccer here in our area. If you're someone who's thinking soccer's never going to be popular in America, look, I'll admit that it has been a minuscule growth. In 1994, when the World Cup was hosted by this country, and there were games up at the Silver Dome, people thought by now soccer would be a top four sport in America, and it has not become that. But it is, the arrow is definitely pointing up for its popularity and interest. Sean from Full 90 is organizing something that I might take advantage of. I think June 23rd, he's got a bus of people that's headed up to Greektown Casino and to watch the pro soccer team in Detroit. Now, it's not a team that got into the big MLS league, but a friend of mine who I used to do sports talk radio with in Detroit, John Krieger, he is an announcer for and been a part of the very strong, organic, grassroots effort to get soccer growing and going in Detroit. And there's a team there called DCFC, Detroit City Football Club. They play in the city within the city of Detroit called Hamtramck. And I watched Krieger, that's what I call him, John Krieger, call him by his last name. Watched him call this game on Fox Sports a couple of weeks ago when they were hosting a European team and they lost, but it was a raucous, energetic crowd. There were food trucks just on the outskirts of the field. So it was a lively, festival-like environment. And I think we can support something like that here in Toledo. So I am looking forward to working with whoever I have to, talking to whoever I have to help get this going forward. There's another note in this article here about what the USL looks for. Local corporate base for successful teams. Local corporate base, the potential for local ownership, and the venue for home games. Again, I haven't done a ton of homework on this stuff, but just some suggestions. Maybe eventually the Walleye and Mudhens will be involved in something like this. Obviously, they would be a big help. I don't know if ProMedica can put any more money out as they continue their acquisitions to be a foundational sponsor of this team, but it's certainly a possibility. There's also Owens International, Owens Corning. There's places like Dana, Jeep, maybe. So there are corporations here that could support something that will definitely grow. Like any business, you might not make a lot of money and you might lose money at first, but I'm pretty sure if it is run correctly and all the people get in the same direction and fight for the same team, this could be a money-making effort and another great local pro sports team here in Toledo. As for where they play, I don't know. I know something was mentioned there in Sylvania and Paysetter Park. What's down at Fallen Timbers? We're across from the mall. I think that used to be a soccer club, and I don't think it is anymore. And again, you're hearing the ignorance, my naivety about soccer here in our Northwest Ohio area. Just a suggestion, a final suggestion for all this stuff. Maybe put it on the river and you could go one of two ways with this. It's a great idea to continue the growth of downtown. It's a horrible idea. There's already enough down there. Let it grow. Let it expand before it gets too congested. And what I was thinking was, is it a landfill? If you go north on Summit past Cherry, there's the Wonder Bread Factory there where condos, I believe, are being developed. Now, right on that, on the water side of Summit Street, still on, not on East Toledo, but on the water side. On the Summit side. But in between Summit and the water. Is it possible? That's a landfill, I think. And we store salt for the city there. Is it possible to put a waterfront soccer park there? And you only need to seat, 5,000 or 7,000 people? It could be smaller than Fifth Third, what, 8,000 people, 10,000 standing there? So it wouldn't have to be gigantic, but it seems like that would be a good spot. It doesn't have to be in the heart of downtown, but right outside of downtown, and it can have a great scenic view of the river and the bridges and downtown and the skyline. So maybe when this soccer effort can really hit high speed for growth here, and we can really see it in the near distance, maybe the place to put the park is downtown somewhere on the water, just a little outside of downtown, but still part of the downtown culture. So that's the soccer stuff. I hope you look into that. Full 90, Toledo, Villa, FC, and all things. Maybe if you are a soccer fan and you didn't know about pro soccer in Detroit, DC, FC, Detroit City Football Club. A couple of tweets that caught my eye, and we'll probably get to this with Demetrius and whoever else is hanging out on Saturday, because they're good show topics. And maybe you saw this somewhere as well that I don't mean to hit you with a tweet and a Facebook post on my personal page, and then the Eric D and the fan page, and then on Instagram. But it is helpful to know what, I know you might be seeing things repetitively. Not everybody is on all the platforms. Some people are just on one. So it helps me share the stuff. That's why, much like tweets and thoughts, with the podcast, you'll see them everywhere. So you can get the content. Batman's afraid of bats. So he's Batman. What's your fear? What would you be? My clean one was Typo Man, because my typos are embarrassing on Twitter. And I think some are careless typos, but I also think some are me getting zinged by autocorrect. But that's also careless, because I should proofread the tweet, which I'm terrible at proofreading. I should proofread the tweet before I hit send. So I'm Bad Typo Man. The more vulgar one, and you know that we use salty language here on the podcast. It's one of the benefits to not being on the air. But previously, when we are on the air, it's the mic is turned on, and I said "fuck on the air, man." Now I think I've cursed 1.5 times on the air in my entire life. Like, it slipped out. I think there was another time when I worked in Monroe at Tower 98.3. I said something 30 feet from the mic, but I yelled it and it picked up and somebody heard it. But there were two times with the old show, or 1.5 times, where I cursed. So the mic is on and I said "fuck on the air, man." So what is your fear, and what would that make your, like, Spider-Man? He's not afraid of spiders, but if you were afraid of spiders, you could be Spider-Girl. There's a Spider-Woman and Spider-Man. So what's your fear? And that's your superhero name. The other tweet that I saw was, there are certain things that you get asked as a kid that nobody asks you as an adult. Not like cute things like, "Hey, do you need your diaper changed?" Or, "Hey, you want to get some ice cream?" Like in a cute baby voice kind of way. I know you can still ask an adult if you want to get ice cream, and it's still kind of cool. It is very cool, in fact, especially on hot days. More like, and this was the tweet, "Hey, what's your favorite dinosaur?" And this is going to be a really popular thing over the next couple of weeks, because Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, comes out. So dinosaurs will be in vogue. And when I've been in looking down toy aisles, the Jurassic Park, Jurassic World toys have been really expensive for smallish toys. So I'll ask you right now, what's your favorite dinosaur? Or should I ask you in a more like juvenile voice? What's your favorite dinosaur? Mine, for the record, is Stegosaurus. And when I was a little boy, you know how I like Transformers and Batman stuff now? When I was a little boy, you know how you brag about something that your kid is really good at? My mom and dad, Barry and Natalie, they would brag about how encyclopedic I was when it came to dinosaurs. My little brother Paul, to this day, still loves cars. He adored cars. He could name any make and model and year of a car when he was 3 years old. He was a savant. I was the same way with dinosaurs. And whenever somebody asks me about dinosaurs, I'm disappointed that I can't recall more names. Like, if you said, "Eric, you have 30 seconds, name as many dinosaurs as you possibly can," I would probably only need 10 seconds. So I'm jealous that 3-year-old Eric knew a lot more dinosaurs than I know now when I claim to be really, really smart. But nonetheless, my favorite dinosaur, Stegosaurus. What's yours? Lindsay and I had our first... It was a fight, for lack of calling it something more detailed or even more accurate. A fight, a disagreement. I was out of sorts on Saturday. I didn't sleep well the night before. Her and Cohen had slept over. Cohen is her son. They sleep in my bed when they sleep over. I sleep on the couch with Andre, my little dog, and we fit barely. So I didn't sleep well. So I was out of sorts all day Saturday. And I didn't go with her to a barbecue, a cookout that she had invited me to go to. Strike one. Foul ball. And then at 6 o'clock, I'm walking the dogs, and they were supposed to come over and sleep over again. And we didn't really have plans. Like, we didn't have anything. They were just going to come over. So I was like, God, you know what? I just want a good night's sleep in my bed. And I was out of sorts, and I couldn't shake it all day. I bailed on the gym. I had more caffeine, and nothing got me going. There's just days. In fact, I'm having that now. But I'm managing to work through it. So I was like, hey, I just want to sleep in my own bed. I called her up. I was like, you know, you guys were in the bed last night, and I didn't sleep well. I've been out of sorts all day. And I guess my tone and my messaging was poor, even though I don't know if there's a nice way to say, I'd rather you not come over tonight. Like, there's no good way to put that. And if there is a good way to put it, I'm kind of manipulating you. So I just did typical straight to the point, Eric. Hey, I just want to sleep in my own bed tonight alone. I was out of sorts all day. I don't want you guys coming over. She came over to pick her stuff up because she had left some stuff there, and she was upset. I think we were all good the next day because she and Cohen came over and they hung out. And things seemed fine, but then we discussed it over text, and she said that I can be a little cold at times, which I know, and my inflection and messaging and tone and all that was off. And I wasn't blaming them. It's just one of those days, and I think she had one of those days here today where she was just off and you wind up taking it out on somebody. So nothing that we couldn't overcome and nothing that I was real upset about. I mean, it just was what it was. There was no easy way to go, don't come over. So I did it as nicely as I could and as quickly as I could. And I pulled that trigger too fast. So, but we're past that. So there you go. You won't have to deal with me asking, how do you people get into fights? The Roseanne stuff. Her tweet, by the way, was that I think a staff member for Obama or something, and said Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of Apes had a baby equals VJ, Valerie Jarrett. Now, I know she is a staunch conservative person and has always supported a lot of Donald Trump's conspiracy theories, but I know the show has been really, really successful on ABC. In no way, shape, or form is that right to say. You either agree with me and denounce her words and sentiments, and you are right, or you agree with her, and you are ignorant, hateful, and possibly a racist. There's no other way of going about it. There's no way to justify, reason, or rationalize equating someone of that color and anything with a name. No, it's awful. It's wrong. It's like telling me, and you can't even go that it was just a joke. Or what about when, you know, Kevin Hart or a comedian says it? Well, you're speaking to an audience who expects comedy. This is, even if you were speaking to that audience, no, you don't make it. It would be like if someone said to me, hey, why don't you just go hop back in the oven? Or are you okay around? Can I gas? No, you can't make those kind of like Holocaust jokes in regards to Jewish people like myself. I can crack the jokes and a lot of people might tell me that it's wrong, but you know where they're coming from. This had no context. There's no shaping this. This was not out of context. This is out and out racism. And I'm glad she did it. And I wish she would retract her apology because it's empty and hollow and meaningless. I apologize to Valerie Jarrett and to all Americans. I'm truly sorry for making a bad joke about her politics and her looks. I should have known better. Forgive me, my joke was in bad taste. Take it back. You do know better, but you did it anyway. And most of the people on the show, from like Wanda Sykes, who produced it, to other cast members, have distanced themselves from Roseanne's tweet and say, look, she doesn't reflect all of us. And she is now, that show's been canceled now. She took that show away from all the people who were enjoying it and her cast members. And she was probably getting some pretty big checks. It was probably going to have other seasons, shortened as they may be, but this thing could have come back for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons. But because she can't keep her hatred internalized, she sends it out into the Twitter sphere where, you know, people are watching and waiting for you to slip up. Not people like me per se, but if it's out there, you know, people are gonna get you for it. But there's no lack of context here. This is just hate and racism. But I wish she would retract the apology because I believe that she does not mean it. I believe that she does know better. And I believe it was intended to be hateful and not a joke. And again, to me, it's empty and it's hollow. And I know that people who think like me, you can criticize me and go, no, this does not need to be out there. Because when this stuff gets out there, when people say this stuff, it empowers and it emboldens people who think like that. And it allows them to verbalize and say out loud and act on their hateful thoughts. And we've seen a lot of this since the rise of Trump. And I don't want to say any more about it than that. That has empowered people to be more hateful and act that way. But don't give me this boilerplate, empty rhetoric of, I apologize to Valerie Jarrett. No, it's empty. And it was a forced apology. Her PR, as this whirlwind of Twitter was taking off and the scandal and the controversy was happening, her PR people or somebody in marketing said, make an apology now. Like, this happened fast. The whole thing, not just somebody getting to her. But by then it was too late. I think that the president or producers at ABC said something about it being repugnant. I like that word. Let me see if I can find it somewhere. Quickly. Disney CEO Bob Iger addressed it on Twitter. There was only one thing to do here, and that was the right thing. Let's see. ABC Entertainment President Channing Dungey said, Roseanne's Twitter statement is abhorrent, repugnant, and inconsistent with our values. We've decided to cancel her show. So she ruined it for a lot of people by deciding to voice her hate. And again, retract the damn apology. And again, you can criticize me because when hateful people share their words, it often empowers some really dumb people to say ignorant, hateful things. And that's how we wind up. But at least when people say those things, like, I encourage you to exercise your right to free speech. Now, I'm not going to lecture you about consequences. I will lecture you that this is not a violation of free speech. Look up the first word in the First Amendment. That's the key. Like, I know a lot of people are staunch amendment supporters in many, many ways. And usually we're talking about the second one, not the first one. But read the words in them. Read the first word of the First Amendment. So don't use that this is a violation of the First Amendment. It is not. The government didn't tell Roseanne that she couldn't say this. The government encourages people to say this. I encourage people to say their hateful things because, you know what? While it might empower those other people I keep speaking about, at least I know who the ignorant people are. Because if you don't say anything, unless it's your actions, I don't know. Like, there's a guy who said something, who's on my Facebook, said something about along the lines of, this was taken out of context. And he was trying to totally rationalize this. It was taken out of context. Libtards and snowflakes are being too sensitive. No, this is a slur. This is, if the N-word is one, this is 1A, or at worst, 2 or 3. It's bad. It's a terrorizing slur. You cannot rationalize it in any way. But please. And so I unfollowed that guy. I was looking at all the things that he was saying to make himself more and more stupid. And I almost commented something. But I held back because I learned my lesson from last September with all the Anthem stuff, with all that commentary. And I was emotionally and psychologically exhausted from doing all that arguing. I was angry at myself at the end of that Sunday night when I got down into the sewers and argued with people who just don't wish to be enlightened or educated or try to have an eloquent discussion so that both sides can be heard. On the Anthem thing, just an observation. I do think the NFL, once again, mismanaged something because at the end of the year, seven players were kneeling. Like, they kicked a bear that was falling asleep. This was going away for the most part. So now their new policy has brought it back to the point of discussion. So Friday night, I'm at Hens and Hounds, the Mud Hens game. And by the way, I'm not blaming the Mud Hens whatsoever for this. But after the game, and it was only one game, but there were a lot of people there, and I don't like to live in a world called small sample theater, small sample size theater, where I'm making an opinion, or I've got conviction behind something with only a small amount of observation or a small set of data. Oh, like seven people said it, so that means everybody thinks it or says it. I try to limit myself from broad sweeping statements or generalizations, but doing this a lot of times I that just happens when we talk it comes out like that. And if we could be more detailed and be more discerning with our words, first of all, things would be a lot more boring, but we'd probably be more accurate. But at the ball game, I can tell you that not everyone, when the anthem came on and those kids did the anthem, not everybody was absolutely 100% obedient, and I'm not talking about the dogs. And I'll even concede that people having their dogs there and there being several hundred dogs at Fifth Third Field meant that people could not give 100% of their attention to the flag and to the singing of the anthem because they wanted to make sure their dogs weren't snarling face to face with another animal. So I'll concede that some attention was taken away there for the right reasons. But there were a lot of people who couldn't even find the flag. And again, I am not criticizing the Mud Hens in any way, shape, or form. But a lot of people couldn't find the flag. Once Lindsay and I did, there were a lot of people not turned towards it and turned, you know, facing the complete opposite way. So there were a lot of things that the average person who has been critical of all of this anthem stuff would be critical of these people. The concessions didn't stop. People were still walking along the concourse. So I think I've come to the conclusion that there is far too much noise in this anthem discussion for many sides when it comes to the NFL and players kneeling and all this. I would rather the thing just go away. Take it out of sports. Get rid of it. Or just do it for the biggest of games. After all, as many people have said, one, I just reminded you, they don't stop selling concessions. And remember, this is all about business anyway. They don't stop selling concessions. You don't stop buying beer or food when the anthem comes on. Some people might. You don't stop peeing when you hear the anthem, when you're in the bathroom at the games. Oftentimes during football games, they would cut to commercial and you would never even see the anthem anyway. Or you'd see the beginning of it and they'd cut away for commercials and nobody had an issue. So I believe there is so much internet noise about this. And you know what? Even at the game on Friday night, while there were people turned the wrong way, while people were shushing their dogs or talking to one another, nobody was like, hey, put your hand over your heart. I even saw people who I thought would be the types who would be critical of kneeling players with hats on. I took my hat off, and I never take my hat off. So it's a lot of noise. It's a lot of noise. In addition to the Roseanne thing, some other entertainment but nerdy stuff. The Solo movie came out over the weekend. It just squeaked over $100 million, which Disney, I guess, has said is underwhelming and a bit of a failure. Not surprising. And it's a bit of a letdown for a variety of reasons. And I'm going to give you a spoiler. I'm going to give you a spoiler right now, okay? You had time to turn off. Darth Maul is in the movie. That's the big nugget that I just want to go and see the end of it. I didn't see it yet. I didn't see it at all, but I read the spoiler. I wanted to see what people were talking about in regards to that. And I guess he was brought back to life with some of the really popular cartoon shows, which are part of Star Wars canon. But anyway, away from spoilers now. Welcome back. You're safe. They tried with Han Solo. There was going to be a Boba Fett solo movie, independent movie, Star Wars story, but it never happened. And then I think before the weekend, people were thinking about it again, saying it was going to get off the ground. Also, an Obi-Wan Kenobi solo movie, that might make sense. But I think we got to go straight to Leia, Princess Leia, as we look for, especially Star Wars, which is emphasizing diversity, gender, races, strong characters with those, within that diversity, and all stemming from the great movie that was Wonder Woman, and finally giving women that strong female superhero, and it'll be followed up with Captain Marvel in March of 2019. Maybe all these years, instead of waiting for Captain Marvel, hoping Black Widow gets a movie, waiting for the right woman, Patty Jenkins, to do the right Wonder Woman movie. Maybe all these years, we've overlooked a wonderful, heroic female that was right before our eyes, who had gifts from the Force, Princess Leia. Pretty easy to do her story, right? Find a great actress, and I think that could be the right movie. And make a heck of a lot more than Solo did. And the other things. Apparently, everybody's off of Walking Dead by now, right? Lauren Cohan, one of the stars, is going to be in season 9 very little because she's got her own show. What's it called? Whiskey Something. Whiskey Something on ABC. Rick's son. God, what's his name? Carl. Carl! Carl went away to college, so he got killed off on the show. He's gone. The other actor, I forget his name, the black British guy, Lenny James, he is now a crossover on Fear of the Walking Dead. Like, this show has waned, and I know that they've wanted to improve it over the last couple of years, and it hasn't gotten there. But Andrew Lincoln, yes, who's played Rick Grimes for now 8 seasons and one more, 9th, is stepping away from the show. So it might finally be time to put the bullet in the zombie head of The Walking Dead, because it's become what it's a show about, zombies. And it's walking aimlessly, brainlessly, and mindlessly. And I'm glad I stopped watching. People told me that after season 2, after The Governor, it wasn't very good. And in rewatching it, I watched the beginning of it in 2016. Went through it and caught up and was like, it's a great show. Watched season 7, bailed. But rewatched some season 1 and 2 simultaneous to season 7. I was like, this is really good. And into season 3, in the middle of season 3, it starts to get really awful. Like, there is a clear line when it gets really bad. And it gets far away from the brilliant show that it was in the first 2 seasons. So Rick's going away, or Andrew Lincoln's going away after season 9. But maybe they'll, I guess the plan is to give Daryl an even larger role. Why does the actor's name escape me now? And one more thing. Before we get to what was drawn on the building here, Jamie Foxx has been cast as Spawn by Todd McFarlane, which is a comic book and had a movie made in 1997 or 98. And I'm not going to go much more on it than that, other than Jamie Foxx is 51 years old and probably looks like he's 35. Same thing with Chadwick Boseman, who's 42 or 43 and looks 32 or 33. So Jamie Foxx looks youthful, but I believe they want to make 3 of these movies. And I feel if you're going to create this universe, this Spawn universe, you're making the same mistake that Warner Brothers and DC did, that I believe they made with Ben Affleck. Wonderful actor. I think he did a decent job as Batman. But to make sure that universe grows, Ben Affleck was too old for that. I think he's in his mid to late 40s. So he was good to play that old, rugged, worn-down Batman. But to grow the franchise, he was too old. Same thing with Jamie Foxx, as young as he looks. So, before we get away from the entertainment stuff, I know sometimes I post this just to get an algorithm bump on Facebook, but I actually am looking for a new show to watch. It looks like it might be Broadchurch, which I've considered before, but not gone into. And now that I am okay with reading subtitles for hard-to-follow British shows, thanks to Lindsay, maybe I'll do Broadchurch. People have suggested. And I didn't want anything popular. Nothing like Handmaid's Tale, 13 Reasons Why, Lost in Space. No subtitles, as in like foreign language. No documentaries. No funny stuff. Somebody suggested Dexter, which was interesting because in the past people have said, you know what? You remind me of Dexter. So Broadchurch might be the one. But if you want to give me a show suggestion, I have Prime and Netflix. I don't have Hulu. And I don't get nearly as many Prime suggestions as I'd like. Prime is really good. There's a lot of shows on there that I found that I've enjoyed, some that I've liked and then didn't continue with. What's the Man in the High Castle, the show about if the Nazis had won World War II. It's in season two. I've tried a couple of times, couldn't keep going with it. So if you have show suggestions, I do appreciate it. There are pictures on my Instagram and Facebook as well. Someone, speaking of streaming shows, American Vandal, which I think is a documentary parody of someone who's drawing penises all over the country on objects in public, buildings, cars, whatever. Somebody drew penises on the windows and doors of the back of the building here. I should think it's people who I used to work with at the other building. But they're all my friends, so I know that they wouldn't do that. But if you want to see these pictures, hit up my Instagram at @Chase_Eric. It's easy to find. You can search it. And thank you for, as always, listening to these podcasts. I think you're almost out of time to nominate me for 20 under 40 in Toledo. I'd appreciate that, especially now that I plan to add another notch to my belt of advocacy, which is soccer here in Toledo. So I appreciate that. If you are going to do that, hit me up for phone number, email address. Email address is ericchase79@gmail.com. I work here at Cumulus Media. Message me for my phone number. And also, if I can speak to your group or your workplace about mental health wellness, if you're doing any kind of lunch and learn or a wellness program, for even if it's physical or financial, and if I can slide in there for mental health well-being, I'd be happy to be a part of that. Go to ericchasespeaks.com. As always, I ask you to, I think you're subscribed, but if you're not, make sure you subscribe to these. Subscribe and share. As I always find out, there are people all the time who have no idea that we are still doing, for lack of a better way to put it, on-air stuff. There are people that don't know that we have a new home here at Cumulus with Q105, and we are cranking out all these podcasts, and they miss the show, and they're looking for things. Let them know that we are here doing stuff. Myself, Demetrius, Philip, our friends that we've picked up along the way, like Ashley and Demarius, and we got to have Floyd, a.k.a. Deja, in here more. So the share part of subscribe and share is just as important as the subscribe part. So I appreciate you allowing all of us to make sure that we can keep our home right here in Toledo.